Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This show doesn't stink. It's awesome.
But the Chiefs have just announced who their halftime performer is going to be on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's Nelly.
Yeah, local.
Well, sort of local. St. Louis. Is it me or did the not Super Bowl playoff game halftime shows all of a sudden just get kicked up a notch? Last week it was Tech N9ne.
Yeah.
You remember? We were there.
Epic.
It was pretty awesome. This week, Nelly, three-time Grammy Award-winning rapper, Nelly will be the halftime performer when the Chiefs take on the Buffalo Bills. And, of course, we all know the Super Bowl halftime thing is a big deal, and it's kind of a 90s hip-hop throwback this year, which is cool. But when did the playoff game halftime performer become a big deal? I don't remember this.
Now that we're a big deal because the Chiefs are a big deal because Patrick Mahomes is a big deal and we keep going to the Super Bowl.
Well, if you notice, they're either local or semi-local. I think they're probably the artists or their managers are probably going to the Chiefs and saying, hey, you want some entertainment for halftime?
Yeah. I mean,
I'll stand on the high B stage and sing.
It's a pretty captive audience of 75,000 people.
Well, and not just that, Scott. Will you reiterate what you said yesterday? This blew my mind, that the game last weekend was the highest rated game since the Super Bowl
It was the highest rated primetime television event, and that would include shows, news broadcasts,
everything.
The Chiefs-Steelers game last Sunday night was the highest rated television broadcast in the United States since the last Super Bowl.
With an 80 share in Kansas City.
That was in Kansas City, though, yes. It attracted at its highest number 33 million viewers in the United States. And the most watched, strangely enough, was not at the end when Ben Roethlisberger would be throwing his last ever pass as an NFL quarterback. It was the end of the first half of the game. They had, you know, you can break it down into like quarter hours and stuff. They had broken it down to basically the last 15 minutes of the first half. And I know, well, the whole second quarter. No, we're talking total minutes. So basically the last 5 minutes of the second quarter were the most watched of that game. That's when they had 33 million viewers.
To be fair, the Chiefs are always among, if not the highest rated game locally.
Of course.
if you look at how many people in New York watched their game and how many people in Dallas watched their game, we are always the highest rated for eyeballs to that team.
Per capita.
Yeah. Yes.
And Scott, you mentioned the time that the most people started tuning in. That's also the time that the Chiefs started scoring
a
bit.
That's true.
So they were probably getting notifications on their phone like, man, I got to see this.
Well, maybe. But I mean, how many people in California have their phones set to notifications of a Kansas City Chiefs football game.
Chiefs Kingdom reaches far and wide.
Chiefs Kingdom is huge in Kansas City, but I think you guys overestimate it.
I'm telling you, man, from my travels, actually, you mentioned California. From my travels in Southern California, anytime I was wearing anything Chiefs, a lot of people would be like, yeah, man, go Chiefs.
Well, yeah, what are they supposed to do, fight you?
Yeah. Are we on a plane?
Well, we'll get to the – I got one more NFL story, and then we've got a flight-related story. It's happened again. We told you earlier this week about Dak Prescott, the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, who made some comments after their loss last weekend. He was asked about the referees getting stuff thrown at him, and he said, well, credit to them being the fans who were throwing garbage at the referees at the end of the game. Dak Prescott's been fined $25,000 for that remark.
Wow.
Credit to them then.
Ha ha ha, you just lost $25,000.
Yeah.
Credit to them then. Those four words cost him $25,000. And back to the skies we go, ladies and gentlemen. We told you yesterday.
All aboard!
That there was a flight from Miami to London that had been in the air for about 50, 55 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman on this flight from Miami to London who would not follow the masking orders.
Nope.
And they turned that damn international flight around and they flew right back to Miami. Less than 24 hours, it has happened again.
Is it a woman again?
A United Airlines flight bound for Tel Aviv turned around mid-flight last night due to unruly passenger behavior. It is the second U.S. flight in 2 days that has returned to its departure point because of poor behavior on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
This is from CNN. United Flight 90 departed for Tel Aviv from Newark International Airport and returned to Newark 3 hours later. Due to disruptive passengers on board, law enforcement officials met the aircraft upon its landing. No charges were issued. No further incident or reported injuries. Our team at Newark have provided our customers with meal vouchers and hotel accommodation.
Yep.
And anger management classes and have made arrangements for customers to complete their journey. It does not go into detail about what happened.
The FAA has released a graph, charts and graphs of crappy behavior on the airlines, okay? And investigations initiated for every calendar year way back to 1995 all the way now through 2022, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in 1995, the line is right above zero. You know, probably a couple of drunks, not that big of a deal. As we get into the 2000s up to 2005, you start to see an increase. And my guess is if you looked into the weeds of these reports, it's because of cell phone usage and the refusal to turn the phone off.
I was just going to say that.
Then people get used to the fact that you can't have a phone on during takeoff and landing. So it kind of dips a little bit after 2005 all the way to 2010, 2015. It's really low in 2015. Really low.
We were just a very peaceful people.
Very good people. 2019, it's starting to go up a little bit. And then look at 2020. It looks like Mount St. Helens.
Wow.
The graph just goes boom!
This idea has been brought up in the past about the cost of the flights. I wonder how well that correlates with the cost of flights and the average cost to fly.
It just went from zero, five people. Like in the worst year, it was like 100 people. To, I think, 1,100 investigations opened.
Well, remember yesterday in that story that we had about the Miami to London flight, there was, and I'm going strictly off memory, but I do remember it close enough to be dangerous. Yeah. They said in that story from like 2005 to 2018 or something that the FAA would investigate on average about 1,500 disturbances a year, just on average.
Yeah.
Okay. This year, in the month of January of 2022, and we are only 21 days in, we're 3 weeks into this new year.
Yeah.
It used to be 1,500 investigations over the course of a year. In the first 3 months of this year, 1,800 investigations have been launched in just 3 weeks.
In 1 month, the FAA proposed a total of $260,000 in penalties against unruly passengers. That is in 1 month.
What's going on? It can't be just...
Well, because this is why I brought up the cell phone issue. When you look at that graph, it's very interesting because the behavior gets better once people understand the rules. Like, they're not going to mess around with this. You cannot play words with friends, Alec Baldwin, when the plane is taking off.
Right.
Everybody got the memo. People start behaving again. When does that mountain come back down on the other side where people now understand that you can be fined up to $50,000?
Flights get turned around. Everybody hates you.
Flights get turned around. Everyone hates you. I think you should be civilly sued for the pain and discomfort you're given to me on my peaceful way to my trip.
Listen to that story about the one to Tel Aviv. They said, because it was a late flight, it happened last night. When the passengers got back, I'm assuming there's not another immediate flight to Tel Aviv, right?
No.
So in that story, it points out that the passengers who got off the plane, not the good people who were just minding their own business were given food vouchers and hotel accommodations.
Which means
they had to stay overnight.
They're stuck.
Yeah. Which basically means we got you a hotel in Newark, what you've always wanted.
Enjoy Newark, said no one.
Doc, when you hear bullets, be careful. We'll keep you right next to the hotel. 576-7798. We'll get to that and much more coming up. Also, KCK's Sour Castle is on the market for an eye-popping amount of money. Keep in mind,
would you say it would put a sour taste in your mouth?
Wow. I would say that, Dana. Left a bad taste in my mouth. We'll get to that much more as well. We have Festivus Friday coming your way at 5 o'clock this afternoon here on Dana and Parks. $43 million of these albums were sold when he released it in 1977.
Unbelievable.
Meatloaf, if you didn't hear the news, died overnight at the age of 74. He had recently contracted COVID, although the cause of death is not known, not yet. Meatloaf died overnight. So did Louis Anderson, the Emmy Award-winning comic and actor. He was 68 years old. He had cancer. A story here from Channel 5's website, if you'd like to follow along. It involves the Sour, S-A-U-E-R, Sour Castle in KCK. And it's just gone on the market.
God, it's gorgeous. This was in the news a few weeks ago, if you remember. Yeah. This was in the news a few weeks ago because they were trying to figure out how to salvage this property that is apparently on the historic register.
Okay. And I want to get into that in a minute too. Mm-hmm. The owner of the 150-year-old Sour Castle has listed it for sale with a staggering asking price of $10 million. The listing on MLS and other online platforms surprised local realtors and historians who have been following the saga of the historic mansion for years. Diane Houston, who has written extensively about the Sour Castle and its owner, Carl Lopp, said the Zillow page posted in a Facebook group of residents interested in the restoration of the building. Houston's work, she goes on to document the extensive damage to the building.
Yes.
Ongoing efforts by the government to assess damage to the building, maybe even use eminent domain to acquire it.
So let me give you a little bit of the history, and it is my dream house, okay?
This Sour Castle is?
This home looks a lot like the Mopintour house in Lawrence. For those of you familiar with the Mopintour red brick mansion in Lawrence, it looks a lot like that house, okay? So the home was built in 1871, was completed in 1873, and it gets into the original owners. It is on the National Register of Historic Places.
Why? Just because it's old?
Because of the way it was built, I believe, in 1872, the mansion was fully furnished and finally finished. And it gets into the deaths of some of the people who lived there. I mean, because it's very, very old, obviously. And in January of 1987, Scott, a man named Bud Wyman and his son and daughter-in-law bought the home. They wanted to turn it into a bed and breakfast, okay? At that time, I'm guessing it had fallen in disrepair because no one lived there. Lopp then hired a caretaker to help with the upkeep of the home. That caretaker in 1996 was charged with felony theft for stealing $30,000 worth of artifacts from the house. A tractor, chandelier, copper from the furnace, and wall sconces. There have been a number of ghost stories.
Of course.
Such as the previous family all being murdered there by their father. And I don't know if that is a story or fact. And people do keep, over the years, vandalizing the house. So
it looks like junk.
$10 million is way above the market value for this home.
Now, several people are pointing out it comes with a very large plot.
God, it's gorgeous.
It is not gorgeous. It looks like a dump.
Stunning, Scott. The exterior of this home is my dream house.
Why don't they tear it down?
Because it's on the National Historic Register.
So what? I mean, how does one get... Just being old, is that what gets you on the National Historic Register? Because there's a lot of old houses.
No. It has to have some significance to it. And again, I'm not sure with the Sauer House what that significance would be other than it's very old.
But what does significance matter if nobody knows what the significance is? Nobody in this town knows what...
Well, but you could say that about almost any property until you say, oh, hey, by the way, this is what happened here.
And everybody's going to go, oh, that's interesting. I'm never going to go. Tear it down. It is dilapidated. Would you agree to that?
Yeah.
The windows are boarded up. Some of them are.
All right. Here is some of the unsettling history of the home. Okay. Daughter Eve Maria Sauer married William Van Fossen in the home, having one child named Helen before the marriage failed 18 months into it. She then married a widower with six children of his own. Together, they had three children and stayed married until he took his own life in the home at age 73. Their son had an infant daughter drowned in the swimming pool on the west side of the house.
It's a death trap. Shut it down.
And then Eve continued to live there with her son and two daughters until her death in 1955. Five generations of the Sauer family continued living into that mansion until Eve's death.
And?
Until ghost stories started originating in 1930, the house was constantly trespassed and vandalized. Man, there's some... I mean, it's an old house. You're going to have death in an old house.
It looks like a 150-year-old turd bowl. No.
Where is he getting the 10 million number?
How much acreage, Scott?
Somebody on the... Is it 3 or 37? It comes with 3 acres of property?
Look at that stunning home when it is well-lit and cared for. It is absolutely stunning. And again, it looks just like the Maupin Tour House in Lawrence. It's my dream house.
Somebody on the text line says, Scott, I cannot believe what you're saying. I hate how in this country old structures are destroyed. Okay. 576-7798. 576-7798. Also from the text line, that house is ugly as blank.
Okay. It's not worth $10 million, but I would not. I think it is a stunning two-story brick. It has that huge center brick. You know what I'm talking about with the gate around the top? Oh, it looks good.
Look good if it was torn down.
If those walls could talk, Scott.
576-7798. Well, they would kill you, apparently. Wow. 576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment. The Sauer Castle in KCK has gone on the market for $10 million. Historic site worth all that money or dump? 576-7798.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When I was 6 years old, I broke my leg. Okay, so I'm looking at the Sour Castle, 935 Shawnee Road, KCK. I'm looking at their Zillow listing that just went up. And they want $10 million for the property, the Sour Castle in KCK.
The photo is taken from a long way away.
From the street. It looks like... And by the way, it's 4 bedrooms, 2 bath, 3,800 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like all the windows on the first floor of the castle are boarded up. There is only one picture available, and it is the exterior picture taken from the street. It looks like it is being cast in a horror movie.
It looks like the exterior of the home in the first American Horror Story series of movies. It really does look awful. But I will remind you, if cared for and restored, this thing looks just like the Maupin Tour home at 16th and Tennessee in Lawrence. It is my dream home. Here's the problem with this. They are asking $10 million. It is clearly in such a state of disrepair that Wyandotte County leaders want boarded it up, Scott.
And they're talking about maybe using eminent domain on it.
They boarded it up. So here's what I want to tell you. $10 million is a joke for this property, and here's why. No other house for sale currently in Kansas City has that asking price, not even close. The next highest price single-family home is a 6-bedroom sprawling estate with a complete panoramic view of downtown Kansas City for $4.5 million. A palatial condo on Ward Parkway that used to be owned by Annette Block. Okay.
You know that house.
Yeah. Is listed for $5
million. That's the one that has the gorgeous guest house out back.
Well, yes, but that was their old home. This is a condo, a palatial estate condo, Scott. Both have more square footage than Sour Castle, and neither is a fixer-upper. They're both in pristine condition.
If you go down on Zillow, it says HOA and financial details. Under that, you just need to put, apparently not, for HOA.
Yeah, what they're saying is even in perfect condition, this would not be a $10 million home.
I would remind you, You showed me pictures months ago of a home that your son got to tour.
The one at Lake Quivira.
Lake Quivira. It was unreal,
yeah.
This house. That house, do you remember what it sold for?
I do, but I think they were asking 10 or 11 million.
That's right.
And it ended up selling for three.
True, but they were asking for $10 million dollars for a house that was immaculate.
Caverns, indoor swimming pools.
Hell, they had an indoor waterfall.
Indoor waterfall, tons of acreage, and hello on Lake Quivira.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. They wanted the same amount that this nut job is allegedly wants for Sour Castle, and it is in complete disrepair. This would be a horror movie casting agent's dream.
The Wyandotte County Appraiser's Office has estimated this home at $645,000.
And that's probably just the ground it's located on.
The brick is in good shape.
Is that all you have to say
yes.
about the structure?
The brick on the exterior is in good shape. It was well made.
It has not fallen.
Correct.
Maybe it should. Maybe it should. 576-7798. John in Kansas City. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to call and say, man, the inside of that house is trashed. Back by 15, 20 years ago when I was in high school, me and a couple friends stuck in around back. There was a busted window, you know.
Yep.
Young kids doing dumb things. And we were in there, walked around everything. There was a tower on top of it, and there's like a wooden spiral staircase that goes up to the top, and there's a hatch that opens up. And I was going to be, go up there and look out. You know, I started climbing in, and stairs were so rotten, and I about fell through a couple of times.
Oh, my gosh. John, were you creeped out? Were you creeped out going in there?
Huh?
Were you creeped out going in there?
Oh, it was spooky, especially down in the basement where it's real, real dark. And all, it's like all the furniture and everything was thrown down there, just thrown everywhere, trashed, you know. I don't know if I've seen something, but, you know, we smoked a little bit of weed, so.
Okay, all right. That's,
wow.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, John, for that.
Didn't need to get all into the details of what you did in there.
This is why Wyandotte County boarded it up. It had become a nuisance because of all of the trespassers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what needs to happen is one of these, this old house, historic home savers needs to say, look, I'll give you $400,000 cash for it. Take it or leave it, and then come in and restore it. Come in and restore it.
To live in it?
It is so bad, Scott, that the owner would not even let the Kansas City Star inside at all to take any interiors.
Is this the owner who's also asking $10 million for
yes.
a home he won't let the Star go inside?
Yes.
Probably a liability issue in case they fell through the floor.
What is
it's
he
worth,
trying?
It's worth saving, but, Scott. It's not $10 million, but it's worth saving.
I mean,
yes.
At some point, do things just become so dilapidated? Union Station was extremely dilapidated in the 90s.
Water on the floor.
I mean, that place was about to fall in on itself. But Union Station was a truly historic building in Kansas City that meant something to people here. Even if you were to restore it, short of somebody moving into it, okay, and making it a residence where they live, nobody's going to go tour it. You can't buy it and open it up as like some sort of museum.
Or bed and breakfast.
Maybe. Or a come spend the weekend where a whole bunch of people got killed. Hey, honey, you know, we were thinking of going to Kansas City for the game this weekend, and might stay at the old Sour Hotel and see if we survive. Well, nobody's going to go. Yes, Texter, great point. Think of the movie Money Pit with Tom Hanks in the 1980s, and that is your Sour Castle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a money pit. And before we get to some more calls, 576-7798, I asked this question, and I'm being serious. Is the owner intentionally pricing it that high?
Yes.
To keep people from buying it?
No, I think to get some free press, honestly, about the home.
I don't know. I think Scott has a point here. I think if he can argue that he's trying to do something with it, he might
be able to keep it. But why keep it? What's the point in keeping a piece of crap home?
Because it wouldn't be. It wouldn't. But you have to go into this, Scott. And look at this for what it is. If you love the restoration of old homes, which I do.
I don't.
Could you go in and make something amazing out of that.
See, but you see these, you have an eye for these things, and I'll agree
the architecture.
That I don't have. What I see is a neighborhood eyesore that should be bulldozed tomorrow. And you see, and to your credit, you see a building with potential and with life and with character. The only character I see is dead. To me, it reeks of let's move on. To you, it reeks of let's bring this thing back to life.
Yeah, it looks like architectural salvage could throw up all over that thing, and it would be the world's most stunning home.
Isn't the number one thing location, location, location?
Fair.
Sometimes, but this is on a lot of acreage. It's got a beautiful view.
Of what?
Downtown, I believe. If you get on that tower, look out. You could probably see 360
degrees. The one with the dilapidated stairs?
If you can survive those stairs,
good
man.
Good on you, buddy.
The view is great.
You can get up, but you ain't getting back down.
Last view you'll ever see.
Lee and KCK, hello.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah. No, you're right. He put this on the market just so he could buy himself some more time. This was his family. It was his great-grandfather's home. I've met the man. Now, he would not let me into there. Now, I did some work in the caretaker's house. Now, that's a whole mess all on its own, even if you inherited the castle. But there's a Facebook page that they came, that they have a lot more photos of that staircase.
Yeah.
It is beautiful back in the day, but now it is completely trashed. There is no there's no roof.
There's no roof.
There's no roof at all, and it's not had a roof for probably 10 years.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, and so the reason why he put that $10 million on is so because the city wants to come in. They actually took a survey of the people on this Facebook group for Sour Castle, and everybody had said, yes, please step in and take it.
Yeah.
Because they want to see something happen to it. He will not give it up. He was the one that put it on the registry, fought to get it on there so it wouldn't be torn down. But the problem with that is you got to put everything back the exact same way it was back in the 1800s.
Right, for it to remain. Lee, here's my question too. If this is so important to him and so important to the legacy of his family, why would anyone have let it get to this point?
Yes.
No money.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Hey, Lee, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. We're about 15 minutes away from Festivus Friday. The airing of the grievances begins promptly after the 5 o'clock news that is brought to you every week by Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer. And don't forget to check out our podcast. If you miss any part of the show, everything is up on podcast at kmbz.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. I just had the great misfortune of Dana showing me the inside of Sour Castle. If you were to buy it, you're just buying a shell.
Yes.
The inside is destroyed.
Yep.
It would take a full-time crew months to put that house back together.
Months.
This is not some...
This
project.
Is not Joanna Gaines is not going to come in with a sledgehammer and fix this house. It needs someone who understands historic preservation and the enormous cost it would take to get that back into a home.
Maybe
it would be millions.
The value of the home with the cost it would take to repair it and just got lost in the numbers.
What if you had to guess to put that back in living condition? What would you guess?
Now, hang on. It's a historic site.
National Registry.
It would be hundreds and hundreds to put that house back together.
I was going to guess 1 to 2 million to put it together.
I was being very conservative.
I was going to say the hundreds of thousands of dollars could apply to the brickwork outside.
And we don't even know if the foundation is solid. The roof is gone in some spots.
It did suffer a microburst a couple years ago that maybe... there might be some foundation issues.
You know, I say this and I'm being serious. It's a shame that that microburst did not knock it to the ground.
Mm.
It is an eyesore. It is dilapidated. It's trash. And I get the texter's point who wrote in earlier, I can't believe what you're saying, Scott. You know, blah, 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 with these older buildings. You know, this, I hate how we think in this country about, let's just get rid of it. It's an old building. This is not the old house on Warnell or on Ward Parkway or, you know, name your street in the old sections of Kansas City where somebody has at least tried to maintain the home, but just with age and the lack of resources, it's kind of fallen into disrepair. This house is destroyed.
Abandoned.
Yes. The stairway leading up to the tower, which apparently has some view, which, as Dana pointed out, will be your last view. The stairs don't even look like stairs. Well,
what's interesting is they have next to the listing, book a tour. And my question is, Scott, could you even walk through it? Number one, would it not be safer to get a drone through it? And Sam says to me during the break, well, it wouldn't be hard to get a drone in there. There's no roof. No. You just fly a drone over it and go on in.
That's right.
Here's the tour. We're still on the street. Yeah, that's as far as we're going. Can't go inside.
There it is. Look, kids. Big Ben. A couple of stories just to bring to your attention before we get to Festivus Friday right after the top of the hour news. This one's from the New York Post as well. He somehow came away with barely a scratch. Get it? Harrowing video catches the moment a Florida man was injured as he fought off a bear on his front porch to protect his dogs.
You know, no one's going to believe this story.
Walter Hickox of Daytona Beach is seen struggling to shove the invading bear from his property Wednesday night before pushing a wooden bench against the opening to the enclosed area.
Yeah.
Says Walter, not a lot went through my head at the moment, other than what's going to happen if he gets past me and into the house with the rest of my dogs and my wife are. Hickox suffered minor injuries during the terrifying encounter. His dogs were not hurt.
Listen real quick to the 911 call, because you know that 911 operators are used to hearing just about everything, right? I think if you're a dispatcher, nothing surprises you. Maybe except this call. The wife called 911 trying to explain to dispatchers that her husband was being attacked by a bear and says, and I quote, my husband was just attacked by a bear. Who do we get a hold of to get this thing removed? He's like, it's a raccoon. He's got puncture wounds and scratches, but not enough for an ambulance or anything. A Ring doorbell camera captured the entire thing. And you can hear him screaming, I was just attacked by a bear. Look at the scratches on his back, Scott.
Yeah, that's a good bear mark.
There's
on his
some
back.
Blood.
Yeah. By the way, and I hate this part of the story. You know how I feel about this.
Yes, they killed the bear.
They have not. They have not caught the bear yet. But the Florida Wildlife Commission says if they do find the bear, they will kill the bear.
Can I ask a really dumb question? But here it goes, because I had to check the dateline on this twice.
And by the way, that bear didn't kill anybody. That bear was acting like a wild animal does.
This was the second bear attack within a week. Am I the only one that missed the memo that there are bears in Florida?
I thought the same thing when I read the story.
Because when they said a Daytona Beach man, I thought, well, he's vacationing in Colorado. No, this happened in Florida. Where are there bears in Florida? And pray tell, how did they get there?
I don't know the answer. I did not know that bears went as far south as Florida. And you know how I feel about killing bears who do animal things? That drives me crazy.
I mean, we've got Everglades in Florida, been there. You know, when I think Florida, I think all kinds of wildlife. I never, ever, ever would think bear.
I think flamingos, I think manatees, and alligators.
There are approximately 4,000 black bear in Florida.
Who
they realize it's
knew?
Hot and humid, right?
Right?
I mean, you've got a thick, furry coat.
I love this tip. If the bear makes contact with you, fight back aggressively.
You know, that they say that's what you're supposed to
do. You're supposed to make yourself big.
Make yourself big and loud.
It's very hard at 5 foot. You go away, bear. You bad bear.
You bad black bear
now,
thing.
Now, I could be loud, but I can't be tall.
I don't think you're supposed to yell words. I think you're just supposed to yell and make a lot of noise.
I'm going to try to talk him down. Stand by.
Give me your best bear get away from me yell.
Get away from me, bear!
Oh, you make a great point. I'm going to go ahead and leave now. Thank you.
You look delicious. That's what you would do?
It says, bang on your door, flip your house lights on and off to give the bear time to leave the area before letting your dog out. Like, how often is this happening in Florida?
I have no.
This is from the Florida wildlife people.
Okay.
Yet another reason not to live in Florida.
Who knew?
And lastly, before we get to the top of the hour news, New York City's new mayor, Eric Adams, says he plans to convert his first paycheck this week into cryptocurrency.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm telling you.
Scott's in it.
I saw this story on the Associated Press. Cryptocurrency prices are declining right now. And Mayor Adams says he wants his first paycheck in Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where the... And Bitcoin.
Put all my money into something no one understands. And when the pyramid collapses, Dana's going to laugh.
Wait. Say that first one again for me.
Ethereum?
Ethereum.
Ethereum. Okay. Hey, man. I don't know how to pronounce it. I just know how to buy it. Festivus Friday is next. The airing of the grievances. Get in early. 576-7798. We'll get to your grievances in just a moment. 576-7798. But the news is next here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.